Stop peeing. Stop. Buddy, buddy, that's a lot of piss for a little dog, bud. Quit. Buddy, stop, dude. Stop.
What do you do?
Dude. What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Chrissy Chaos. We are here in the Los Angeles lair of Paragon Studios, owned and operated by Alex Aldea, who's dressed like he's on the run from the Russian mob. And today we have a very special guest, a very interesting guest, somebody we've never had. We've never had anyone like this here on the show. Normally it's just, you know, it's comedians or members of my family or my father's friends or my children. But today we have, first of all, the first ever, guest of Japanese descent we've ever had, because we've been talking a lot about Japan on past episodes. So I wanted to get a Japanese American on the show, who she's an executive, not an executive chef. She's an executive coach. Okay. She is going to make me, she's going to figure out what's wrong with me, what's wrong with this show. What's wrong with everything? Why I am the way I am? Why I'm a stupid idiot? And she's already, I've met her a few minutes ago. We've already connected. She's already taking notes. Alex's dog has urinated on the carpet, which we will post a video of that. Her name is Susan Inoue.
Good.
Did I get it?
Yeah, you got the name right. I'm impressed.
You have an Italian already. Husband.
I have an Italian husband, yeah.
How great is that?
Oh, it's great. He's got a great family, and they love to dance and sing. And
yes.
And we're going to Italy this year. I mean, I've been to Italy, but he's never been.
He's never been? What a stupid asshole. No, I'm kidding. Is that good? Would that get me a job if I said that?
He'll like you anyway.
Really?
Yeah, in spite of yourself.
Now, do you have little children?
I have 800.
You have 800 children?
Yeah. So when we got married, my husband's the CEO of a nonprofit organization, Youth Mentoring Connection. And it's the most amazing organization. They've been around for over 20 years.
Right.
And they actually save the lives of and transform the lives of at-risk youth in South Central Los Angeles.
Whoa.
Yeah, but their whole process, Salbona leadership and the gift-centered approach is now in over 30 countries.
Well, I'd like you to save my life today. I'd like you to save my life and save my career.
Do you want that?
I want that. The podcast is, despite what Alex says, is it feels like it's dwindling. I feel like I'm stuck in the mud. I feel disconnected. I don't know what to do. And I want your help. Not only are you an executive coach, but I just also feel that you're wise. You're a wise woman. And that you're writing notes, looking me directly in the eye, and it's just a talent that you have.
It is a talent. My clients want to know how I can look them in the eye and still write notes.
So, what is your first impression of me?
I'm trying to see if you're serious. You know, I'm trying to hone in on if you're performing or if this is really what you want. Like, I mean, why did Alex have me come on the show to work with you? I mean, was there something that Alex saw that?
Well, Alex probably booked you when he was high on crystal meth. JK. I'm kidding.
I could believe that.
Yes, right? Doesn't he have a... Yes, but a good one. He looks like a guy, like, but, you know, maybe he does meth, maybe he doesn't, but it's all in fun and we love him anyway type thing.
Yeah.
And then my friend Don, who's in the back, you haven't seen him, he's lost 25 pounds. And he's, right? Okay. He's lost 25 pounds, but he still has a big, fat meatball head. What do you think about that?
Well, yeah, your head doesn't shrink much when you lose weight.
You have a nice size head. Have people ever told you that?
No. But
I think you do.
You're the first.
Do you feel that I'm positive?
Well, there is, well, Chris, there's why don't we get to your story?
Okay.
And the reason is this is very unusual. When I do executive coaching, I usually check the person out, but I was told specifically by Alex, your CEO,
yes,
to not check you out. He did tell me your name and ask me if I knew you, which I don't. I'm sorry, I don't know your reputation. I don't know your. He said you're famous, so.
Well, I am beloved. I am beloved amongst Puerto Ricans and gays. I don't know if the Japanese community has caught on to me yet.
No, I don't think so.
But Puerto Ricans and gays, I kill for them.
Hey, you know what? In our community, we have what we call, well, I won't say it. We have what we call rice kings. Rice kings are people, white people who marry Asians.
Asians. Wow.
Yes, rice kings. We may have some rice kings out there that follow you.
Yes, in my community, they're called arroz kings. White people who married Latinos. That's me.
Oh, that's you? Oh, you married a Latino.
Well, we're not married, but we do have multiple children.
Okay.
So we're married through, we created more people. I've created more Puerto Rican people than some Puerto Rican people have. I think that's you know, white people sometimes in this day and age will, you know, constantly be getting accused of being racist. And I say, well, this is how not racist I am. I'm making more of another race. That's how I feel. Because I have Puerto Rican children.
Okay.
Let's
go back to you. Why did you come to me for coaching? So maybe you might tell a little bit about your story, because I don't know much about you. And I usually do before I even meet with someone.
Mm-hmm.
And usually it's like, do we have chemistry first? And
yes.
Is it a good fit? And then after we decide, then we go into coaching. But we're going to do one fell swoop here.
So my name is Christopher Paul Anthony DeStefano. I was born August 26, 1984 in Queens, New York. I'm from New York.
You sound New York.
Thank you. I'm from New York. I was a physical therapist. I have a doctorate degree in physical therapy. I left physical therapy almost as soon as I got a career in it. I left it to pursue stand-up comedy against my mother's wishes. She couldn't believe that I was doing this.
Right.
But then I had what some people might consider relative success. Got on David Letterman show, comedy specials, you know, professional comedian. I have multiple comedy specials. I've just sold out. Few months ago, I sold out Radio City, which is an iconic venue in New York City.
Right.
Then the next night, the theater at Madison Square Garden, which is another iconic venue. All these ticket sales. I have a big special coming out, pitching a TV show tomorrow with Jimmy Kimmel. All these cool things are happening, and people will say, like my friends, you're doing so well. Look at this. But I feel so incredibly disconnected from my work and feel like I'm just worthless in this career. And even though my family, we have whatever we want now because financially, been able to sell tickets and do well on the road and do these things, I feel as disconnected from comedy as I ever have. And I just feel like I'm not doing anything right. And I feel like nobody really cares about what I'm doing. And anything that I do well in my comedy, in my mind, will say, well, it's just some kind of trick I've done for the audience. It's not real. They're laughing at bullshit. This isn't that even, it's all tricks. I'm a fake. I'm a fraud. And I don't know where it comes from. But I was hoping that, you know, you could help me get through that.
So are you really feeling that?
I do feel that. I do feel that at times.
Mm-hmm.
I do feel like I don't, how am I going to sustain this? Like I had a couple of good years, maybe I got lucky, but how do I sustain this for a career and a life? It just feels like it's what I'm saying and doing is not even that hard or impressive. It's just bullshit that people, it's easy stuff that people laugh at. That's how I feel about myself. But then people will send me messages telling me how much my comedy helped them and this and that, but I don't feel it at all. I feel like I couldn't possibly see how you would like that, about how you would like this type of thing that I do.
So is there something like real specific you can give to me that goes towards this thing that you have, this imposter syndrome that they call it the imposter syndrome, but I feel like that's just a title people give to it. But below that is certain things like not feeling good enough, things like, am I living in my purpose?
Yes.
Am I contributing to the greater good of what my children will live?
Yes.
For years to come?
I think a lot of it comes from, I think that because I have this job as a physical therapist, you have a doctorate degree, and this is very prestigious for my mom and her family. She's all about education. And then I don't think that they're very proud of me, of the type of comedy that I have, the type of humor I have. So I feel very conflicted where I'm like, you know, these people will message me sometimes and be like, your comedy helps me so much. Mm-hmm. You got me through cancer or whatever. But then my mom and family will be like, you're an embarrassment to us all.
Mm. And is that true?
That is true.
That they've said that to you?
They have. Yeah. And only recently, only very recently did I have an uncle who stuck up for me in Thanksgiving when my mom and family were shitting on me for my comedy and I make too many gay jokes and I make too many crude jokes and this and that. And then my uncle, who's gay, who's, we think he's gay. He may or may not be. He's never really officially come out. But the way he eats a turkey leg, you would assume he's a gay man.
How does he eat a turkey leg? I didn't.
Yes. And then it comes out of his butt. And so.
As everything.
Yes. The yin and the yang.
The yin and the yang. Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Okay.
So, but he finally stuck up for me and he was like, well, you know, you guys always, you know, at family parties will shit on his career, but then you all want tickets to his shows or you all want to meet his famous friends. So why don't you not ask him for anything? Or if you're going to ask him for things, shut your mouth. Because he's the only one, because he's very wealthy, my uncle. Mm. And he said, you know, out of all you people in this family, because he never really even speaks to me that much. He's like, out of all you people in this family, he's the only one that never asked me for money. All you little fuckers know who you are. You're always asking me for money. I'm paying for your kids' schools, paying for all this. He's never asked me for a cent. So why don't you shut up? And then that made me feel powerful for a second. I was like, oh, cool. You know, that's what I want. But then that feeling was fleeting. And then in a day or two, I went back to,
yeah,
I suck.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think I need to figure out for sustainability, how am I going to keep this going? How do I, because I am confident in myself in certain moments. And I do believe I have power to do things. But I do feel like my peers are just like blowing past me. And it's not true. Most of it's not true. Some people are because, you know, life is a marathon. It's not a sprint.
Do you feel, just curiosity, do you feel like you're an imposter to your family? Or do you feel like you're a fraud or something sometimes to yourself that you're not?
Yeah,
not living into, because you have, I mean, for you to get all these degrees, you know, I can start naming the amazing gifts that you have within you. And, you know, you have the gift of drive and determination.
Okay.
You have the gift of creativity.
Yeah.
You have the gift of humor. You have the gift of persistence. Because, you know, to be in entertainment, it's not easy. I mean, I know that. It's very challenging and difficult. You have the gift of gab.
Right.
You're really good at conversation. And I'm sure you're really good at gaining rapport with people.
At times.
You know.
You think I'm gay?
No.
Okay. My friend who's gay told me he doesn't think I'm gay either, even though I at times think I'm gay. He's like, I think you think
I don't know. Do you think you're gay?
No, but I do. No, I don't think I'm gay. But I'll say this. I don't think I'm gay. I've never wanted to have a relationship with a man. But if a gay thought pops into my mind, I don't immediately push it out.
Okay, I think that's good.
But that doesn't mean you're gay.
That's good. That's good. That's good. You know, so can I give you some thoughts on this, my take?
Yes.
Some thoughts. These are just some thoughts because I don't know you that well. I haven't done a full-blown assessment on you.
But I do feel like we have something here.
Yeah.
There's good energy here.
Yeah. So everyone is born into this world in what we call our authentic self.
Okay.
Okay? And what happens is society tells us what we need to be in order to fit in. And so we lose sight of our North Star and we go into our social self or that person that everybody wants us to be. And we lose sight of who we are, what we were born. We lose sight of all the things that make us feel confident all the time. And confidence is more of a feeling within that we believe in ourselves in spite of what our parents say or whatever, you know? And I know it sounds like you've lost sight of your North Star. You've gone into the social self. You you know, I think you probably have done things for the notoriety and things, because you can get caught up in this world of show business.
Yes.
I know this world very well because I was in it right out of college for a while. Mm-hmm. And the more success you have, you know, the more, sometimes the more doubt you have that it can continue on. And so part of this is, how do we bring you back to your North Star? How do we point it back to your authentic self? Because within there is the power of your gifts and your purpose that you were born to bring into the world, so that you can stand in that. And being able to stand in that purpose and in your gifts is one of the most powerful things. It's a different feeling than just doing a lot of things and accomplishing a lot. Okay?
So it has nothing to do with money then?
No. Right. I mean, who we are, this is why a lot of, I mean, even execs that I work with, when we get behind closed doors, will say to me, if they only knew what I didn't know. If they only knew that I don't know certain things, I'd probably be fired tomorrow, because they've done all the right things to get up there. But within them is this thing where I'm not as good as everybody thinks I am. And I have to sometimes, you know, through comedy, you know, comedy is a way for you to be able to be valued and accepted by your community, because they love you. I mean, right. It's obvious that you're getting all these amazing gigs that you're getting. And the key is that for you, and I think comedy too, and telling jokes and stuff like that, takes you, it's a distraction from getting connected within yourself. So when you said, I don't feel connected, connection is not like connectivity or communication. It's how I feel when I'm with myself or with others. And that is building, how do we connect within ourselves? How do we build those sensations within us? And so, like, there's ways of doing that where you can, your body becomes this sensor or barometer that when you're feeling a certain way, you know what that means. And you're able to not only sense within yourself, but if you sense within yourself, you are able to sense with other people.
So how do we, do you have exercises on how we can do that?
Yeah, you know, one of the first things for you, because I noticed that you move a lot.
Right.
And I know that one of your gifts is drive and determination.
Yes.
I mean, look at all the things you're doing, right?
Right.
To every gift, there's the other side to the gift. There's the blind spot, what we're blind to and need to learn.
Right.
So usually someone who's going 80 miles an hour, the other side to that gift is being able, what do you think? If you're, it's sort of the opposite. What do you think the other side is?
If someone is going 80 miles an hour and drive, the other person, the opposite would be laziness and not doing anything, right?
Well, think about it this way. If you're driving 80 miles an hour, the other side to that gift is knowing how to drive 10 miles an hour,
slow
20,
down.
30, 40, because people that are driven and determined, they either have laying on the couch and sleeping or go, go, go. But there's all these speeds in between. And knowing how to access all those different speeds allows you to integrate so much more into your life. Allows you. It's like, for example, I give a practice because I do a lot of somatic work, which means work of the body. And you, having been in physical therapy, understand how important the body is.
Sure.
Okay? Yeah. And so I might have them do something where they walk very fast from point A to point B. And I say, walk really fast. And just notice how you feel, and then come back and walk really slow and notice how you feel. So they come back, and I ask them, and they usually say, well, when I was going fast, I didn't notice anything. You know, they didn't connect to anything. They just noticed the end point. Now, that's not bad. When we have to get to some place very quickly, that's important.
Like when you have to use the bathroom or something.
Yeah. I mean, if you have to go that badly, right?
You have to go. That's usually when you see someone really walking really fast, usually that's
yes.
what they're doing.
Yes.
And we call that, because that's what's happening a lot with Ozempic. People are on Ozempic, and they have to go to the bathroom. There's a lot of side effects to Ozempic.
Okay. Well, let's not get sidetracked.
Don lost 25 pounds. He claims he's not on Ozempic, but there's syringes all over his bedroom.
I am not.
He is not.
Sorry.
Anyway, and then... when you asked them how they felt when they came back very slow, they were uncomfortable. But what they said was they could see the scenery, the nature. They could connect with it.
Right.
So I say it now. Okay. So that's one end of the spectrum, fast and slow. I then put them into, because one of my teachers was a seventh degree black belt in Aikido, I put them into what we call center. And in center, it's the modes in between zero and say 100. And there's a practice that I do. And so what happens is in center, now they walk. They don't walk so slow, but they walk at a pace where they can still connect with everything and feel comfortable in it. And they say to me, oh my gosh, I never noticed this or that. Wow. I say to them, when you're in your organization, if you're going 100 miles an hour all the time, no wonder you don't connect. No wonder you don't connect. You're going, 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 going. You have to, a practice I would give you is like my famous practice called walk in beauty, where I have you walk in nature and walk slower than you normally do and really connect with nature and receive its beauty within yourself, within your heart. That starts the process of allowing you to be able to slow down to a pace where you can start connecting to other things, but it allows you to connect within yourself. And when you connect within yourself, you start, that starts a process of transformation. And the reason I say that is we can't change unless we change the way we feel in our body. Does that make sense to you, being physical therapist?
It does. It does. And it really makes sense because even just today, tomorrow I'm pitching a television show with Jimmy Kimmel. Big thing, big opportunity here to pitch a TV show. Cool, you know. And the writer who I'm pitching with, we were having breakfast today and we went over it and he was like, you know, I just encourage you tomorrow, like you really got to slow down. And in my head, I didn't think I was going fast at all. Right. So there must be this connection thing, like you said, it must, and my family, my girl at home is always like, you know, you're going like way too fast. Like you're just, oh, but I don't feel it. It's an interesting thing where perception is reality. Cause in my brain, I always think I'm going slow.
That's because that's the norm for you. And so your body has established that as home base.
Right.
Now, I had a client where she is just like you. Go, 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 go.
Right.
And when I had her, and maybe I should do this with you, when I had her do a sitting meditation practice, she just jumped up and she's, I can't do this.
I can't do it.
I can't do this. This is crazy. I just can't do this. And it was, I saw how, you know, she couldn't sit still. So I had her do walking meditations and stuff, which helped her. But the idea is we have to establish a new home base for you. And the reason is this. When you're in a meeting or a pitch meeting, because I've been in those too, you have to be able to read other people. And to be able to read other people and to be in what I call centers, like being in the eye of the tornado. It's being in the still of the midst of the storm. Mm-hmm. When you're in the still of the midst of the storm and everything around you is moving, like other people are giving you signals as maybe your partner is pitching or you're pitching, you have to be able to connect with that and see what's going on to read them beyond. You know, people don't always say what they mean.
Right.
And you have to be able to sense that and read that, but you can't do it if you're always performing, always on a roll, okay?
Right.
And so, yeah. So I could do a meditation with you.
Yeah. You like now?
Yeah. Why not?
Okay. I want to do that. But do you ever think sometimes you ever just get a client, like say you didn't know me, we're on a show, you ever just think, you know what, I just have to beat the shit out of this guy.
No.
I want to hit him with sticks.
No.
Never thought that once.
No.
That doesn't work because that's what my dad would want to do. Want to hit me with a you want to tape up a wiffle ball bat and just beat me in the back of the legs with it.
Yeah, but maybe he comes from a different generation. He comes from the generation where they used to spank kids and do all this. And then generations afterwards couldn't do that because the kids would sue the parents.
Well, yeah, and Catholics, I was spanked.
Oh, so you're getting over that
Catholic guilt. Here's another clue about me.
Okay.
That's why I think I'm no good all the time.
Right.
Because you know what would be a lot
Are you a recovering Catholic? Is that
yes? I'm a recovering Catholic. I've waddled out of it.
Okay. It says a lot.
It's a lot. Because there's a lot of tension still. Not tension, but you know, I grew up when I was 18, 19. That's when the Catholicism, Catholic Church started to get a beating publicly. All this stuff started to happen, the priests and all that. And my mom is devout, and she doesn't understand why I'm not devout, you know, like her. And so a lot of stuff would happen, especially with my comedy career in the beginning, where it was always this. It was always I'd get a big, what I think is like a fun opportunity to tell her about. And she'd be like, yeah, but are you sure, Chris? I mean, I don't know about that, honey. You should just do physical therapy. So it was a lot of doubt. Always, that was like being implanted, like, yeah, are you sure, though? Like, that's what I still to this day hear from her. I don't know about that. Are you sure?
Yeah.
And so it's become a part of me that I'm noticing now. That's why I want to get a coach in here. I'm noticing like, hey, I got to get this out of me because I don't want to pass this to my kids. I don't want my kids to think that their dad doubts them. I don't want that.
So this is what we also call the inner critic. Mm-hmm. It's the voice within us.
The inner Chrissy.
And the inner critic usually a lot has to do with our parents,
right?
You know, what they said to us when we were young and what we continuously hear. And so when we work, like I work very holistically, head, heart, and body, and spirit, when we start to look into who we are and the voices and things like that, working from the inside out is so important. So when those voices, you know, there's a whole there's so many different processes I use.
Right.
But the idea is to be able to, how do we quiet the inner critic, or how do we make a relationship with it to understand that, you know, your parents did the best they could with the resources they had. They really did. I mean, they were trying their best, and they were of a different generation. And, you know, they had their parents, which were of a different generation, I'm sure, telling them what to do as well, too. So it's up to your generation to break the pattern.
Right.
To break it so that it doesn't get passed on to your kids, right?
Right.
And as you said, you don't want your kids to have that kind of thing in their life as well, too.
I don't want them to ever, I don't want them, my biggest thing, because I have certain people in my family that like, they take from me. I want to make sure my kids always know that, like, I will never take from you. I will only, like, my job as a parent is to always, like, give to you and help you. I never want to be a burden on you. I never want to be someone who takes anything from you. I want to be someone who always gives to you. And so sometimes I feel like with my parents, I'm like, oh, sometimes I feel like they take from me. But it's interesting that you're saying, well, they're doing the best they can. That's helpful to hear, because I've never thought about that. Like, just cut them some slack, too.
Yeah, you have to, because they're... We all grew up differently. And have you ever sat down and heard the story of your mom or your father, you know, where they came from, their journey and stuff?
No.
And I say this because I think it's important to, while they're living, to actually sit down and even record their life journey. Because if you heard about their life journey and probably how they suffered and the wounds that they have, you'd probably be more compassionate about what they say to you. Now, not to say that that voice, which is becomes your inner critic, is doesn't work for you, but at least it would give you an opportunity. Something. We call it, so this is what my husband, Tony, passed on to me.
That was 800 kids.
Yeah, with 800. When he
Does
asked
he play
me
for the Jets?
When he asked me to marry him, he said, would you be the mother of my 800 kids? And I went, 800 kids? You've been busy. Yeah. I know you're Italian, but you know.
You're like, you don't pull out.
God.
But then he's 800 adopted kids.
Yeah, so anyway.
All right, guys, this episode sponsored by Blue Chew. I am rock hard right now, and that's because I have Blue Chew chewable tablets made right here in the USA. I want you guys to have a really nice hard cock. I really do. I want you to be erect. I want you to love the way you feel. I want to see it veiny. Love it. Blue Chew is all done online. That's what I love about it. No visits to the doctor's office, no awkward conversations, no waiting in line at the pharmacy. You just get rock hard dicks right to your door. Chewable tablets, so because if you know, like somebody like me, I can't swallow pills, I have to chew them. That's why Blue Chew works for me. You can take them anytime, day or night, so you can plan ahead or be ready whenever an opportunity arises. And trust me, you will be arising. The process is simple. You sign up at bluechew.com. Consult with one of our licensed medical providers. And once you're approved, you'll receive your prescription within days. Okay? What, you don't think you need it? You're out here getting stiffies?
do me a favor. Try it. Try it free for a month. You're going to love it, okay? Just try it free. They say there's nothing sexier than confidence, and Blue Chew can help give you confidence where it counts, right in your nuts and dick. So Blue Chew wants to help you have better sex. Discover your options at BlueChew.com. Chew it and do it, baby. And we've got a special deal for our listeners. Try Blue Chew free. That's free, baby, when you use promo code CHAOS, C-H-A-O-S, at checkout. All you got to do is pay the $5 shipping. That's BlueChew.com, promo code CHAOS, to receive your first month of free. Visit BlueChew.com for more details and important safety information. And we thank Blue Chew for sponsoring the podcast and sponsoring my erection. Guys, you know me. I love KiwiCo, all right? I've told you about this product a million times. Chrissy KiwiCo, that's who I am. If you don't know what it is, let me explain it to you, okay? I'm going to explain it. I'm going to read you the actual details of what they want me to say, but let me explain it to you in my own words. Our kids are stuck to their devices, right? That's what it is. That's life nowadays. KiwiCo offers the amazing opportunity to get you and your children off the devices, involved in a family activity where your kids are actually building things and learning things that are going to help them for the future. They send these crates every month, once a month, or however much, however many, you know, whatever subscription you pay for, arts and crafts projects, science projects, engineering projects, all designed by real life engineers that are tested on the kids before they send them to you, so you know that they're fun. They have to get a fun approved check mark by the kids. My kids built headphones. They built a pinball machine. They built a volcano. And guess what? You know me, I don't know how to build anything. I learn how to build things and I get my own confidence up because I'm like, oh, wow, look at this. I just was able to build a lever. I didn't think I even knew how to do that. But KiwiCo breaks down the instructions and me and my kids are all off our devices for 3 hours building projects and building confidence. And it's awesome. So whether you're staying at home or heading out on summer exploration, KiwiCo is inviting kids and kids at heart to enjoy the first ever summer adventure series. Kids from 2-year-olds to teens can receive 6 hands-on science and arts project kits over 6 weeks with enriching content and fun activities to accompany each project. KiwiCo has something for everyone and offers different topics for each age. Whether your child wants to explore space or learn about dinosaurs, we got it covered, babe. These awesome projects from the Summer Adventure Series, like the Bottle Rocket Kit, that sounds fun, where kids build an actual bottle rocket, help to turn the outdoors into a playground of learning and fun. The Summer Adventure Series is a personalized experience. You'll be surprised at how high quality the materials are, too. These are real engineering, science, and art projects for the children. Dude, bottle rockets? You want me to build a bottle rocket? Hello, I'm in. I want to do that. I want to do that. I want to shoot them at my dad. And KiwiCo does the legwork for you so you can spend quality time tackling projects together. There's something for kids of all ages. It's convenient and personalized. You can either receive all of your summer adventures, all crates at once, or weekly for 6 weeks. I would do them weekly for 6 weeks just because I get excited every time the postman comes and we got another KiwiCo package. Build the best summer ever with KiwiCo. Get 20% off, my Spanish-speaking audience, that's 20% off on your summer adventure series at kiwico.com/summerchaos. That's KiwiCo, KiwiCo.com/summerchaos to get 20% off your summer adventures. KiwiCo, I love you.
But Salbona. Salbona is a Zulu greeting meaning I see you. Okay. As in seeing the whole person.
Right.
And it's about seeing beyond the physical being into the heart of who you are. It's seeing your beauty, your essence, right, your gifts, your strengths, your weaknesses, all this stuff, and still accepting you for who you are.
Right.
So if you salbona your parents, if you see the good in them, and it's not just the good, it's seeing their gifts and what they, you know, have brought to the world and how they've provided a foundation for you so yes, you can be here today, then it allows you to have a different conversation with them.
Yes. Like I've never even thought until you kind of changed the view was like, you know, my mom did have a hard life. First of all, she's a redhead. She has red hair and freckles. It's not easy to get through that. And
well, you know what? There's not a lot of redheads. You're right.
None. The only There's redhead not. I could think of is, you ever heard of Andrew Santino? No. He's a big comedian. He has red hair.
What
He's,
about Lucille Ball, though?
Lucille Ball.
She was really famous, the most famous redhead. But I'm sure she went through a lot, too.
Andrew Santino is my Lucille Ball.
Oh,
you should look up Andrew Santino and coach him next. He has red hair. It's difficult.
Okay, okay. Yes, when you're unique, it's especially in her generation, it was tough. But I think in your generation, because you're
39.
Okay, you're a millennial.
Yes.
On the high end, you're a millennial.
I am the high end, yes.
You know, and the thing about millennials is their parents wanted them to feel unique. Right. They wanted them to go for their dreams. Now, I know your parents are, they're just worried. They're worried that you will fail.
Yes.
You know, at some point that you'll fail. And so that carries within you. So if I were your coach, we would start to work with those inner critics and those voices so that you would be able to, you know, feel more of the confidence that you need to feel.
Yes.
You know?
Cause I
and also that you'd be able to connect not just within yourself, but with them.
I got connecting. It's interesting because I've been at a point in my life now where I've said, well, what's the most important thing to me? What brings happiness? And what brings happiness for me is I live in New York. My kids are in New York. My family's in New York. I like being home. And so this thing in my career is like, you know, my peers are going on like world tours or big national tours. And that's where you make a lot of the money and all that. And like, you know, initially it's like you want to go for that. But then I'm like, but the cost of that for me is I have to be away from my family for so long. So I'm like, I don't want to do that. I feel very conflicted even at times in this career where I'm like, it's like being a pro athlete. It's like the only way to get like good and reach these pinnacles and zeniths is you have to spend so much time away from your family. I just don't want to do that. But then I'm also the sole provider. So I have to do that. Like my family's not going to eat.
But it sounds like you're doing pretty good, not even touring, doing as much as
so
they
far.
Do.
It's okay. Yeah. Yes.
And so my question becomes, Chris, you're very creative. How can you create a different model where you don't have to go on all these tours, but you can do what you can and still be the father that you want to be to your children? You know, if you created a different model and a different framework that literally disrupted your industry, where you could be a dad, where you could be, you know, famous within your own community and still make good money, that would be amazing. And that's the other thing I'd probably help you do. Because so many of my execs that come to me that are women, they have the same problem. How do I build this business and still be the kind I don't want to miss my kids' graduation. I don't want to miss their first step, whatever it may be. And it sounds like at heart, you
I'm
really...
I'm a woman.
No, that's... You've developed your feminine side more than other men.
Well,
maybe.
I will say... Yes, because I will say even this. You ready for this? When I became a physical therapist, right? You know, I worked pediatric physical therapist, got my license, all that. And then I froze, when I left it to do comedy, I froze my physical therapy license, right, in the state of New York.
Okay.
There were, when the pandemic happened, Governor Cuomo at the time of New York reinstated everybody's physical therapy license because it was a health crisis.
Oh, really?
As long as you didn't have any type of malpractice or lose it. But if it was frozen, like mine was, reinstated because we needed potential. At that point, they were like, we need frontline workers. So if you have a healthcare degree, so all of a sudden I get a call, you're reinstated. And I said, whoa. And they said, yeah, they said it was interesting because they set out, I think it was like 2,000 frozen physical therapy degrees in the state of New York. I was the only one who was a male. Everyone else froze it because females, they froze it to, as mothers.
Right,
you were the only one. Only male in the entire state of New York who had it frozen, and we just they, you know the people were like we just thought that was interesting. So in a way, it's like that's I act like a mother.
You know, well, that's good though. You have that other side to you, you know, and you have the capacity to know that your children are important, and the years will go by very quick, and you don't want to miss out on those years, right? To be able to And by the way, you miss out on those years. They miss on the connection with you.
Yes, which I don't want. It's big. You know? Some of my peers that I've gotten a chance to be on the radio with or know who have become very big and famous, they always say the same thing to me. They always like, yeah, I crushed it. They did so well, whatever. I was like, yeah, I miss so much of my kids' life, though. Like, they always say that. And so I don't want to be that guy. I feel like in another life, I'd be your husband. We would be together. And we'd have 850 kids.
50 kids.
Right? Don't you feel that way? Aren't you getting the vibe?
I'm getting something here.
Yes.
I don't know if that's it, but listen, the other...
Just got shot down. Susan!
I think that, I mean, that you have that other side to you is a blessing.
Okay, not a curse.
It's not a curse. I think it's a real, true blessing. Now you have to find a way to be able to reinvent it, to create this new normal for comedians like yourself.
Yes.
So they don't always have to be on the road, so they don't always have to miss the life with their family, with their children. And how do you do it in a way? Because if you succeed at that, other people will be following you.
Well, I think that's why
Also, I was going to say, because you have, what did you say? You had a degree in psychology.
Undergrad degree in psychology and a doctorate degree in physical therapy.
Right, exactly. There's something here that's very much health and mental wellness oriented.
Yes.
That is, I think, I'm feeling is a bigger part of your life. That somehow it will come full circle for you.
Right, yeah.
And then it won't just be a comedian and be this. It's going to, how do we integrate this together so that you serve a greater good? You're already doing this because some people say with your comedy, you heal them.
That's what they say.
Think about how amazing that is.
Yes.
And I mean, it's just not to laugh. It's, you literally healed me. You know, you're healing my body.
See, and I guess in my mind, what happens is like, that's a good example of like, I'll say, well, every comedian gets those messages. It's not special to me. And maybe that's true. Maybe that's not. But I guess what I'm hearing is like, it does. That's irrelevant. Stop comparing. Like, just if you got that message and you helped one person, that's good. And I think that, you know, my physical therapy professors who are, you know, have followed my journey in comedy, they always are upset at me when they come to the shows because they're like, why did you stop? Like, I know you're doing well in comedy, but like, still, like, give the gift of physical therapy. It's, you know, come and volunteer with us at the clinic. Do something with us. So maybe that's interesting. Because, you know, even doing the podcast, which we do in New York, you know, with Alex, who's in the studio, I feel like him and I could come up with something. As long as he doesn't wind up in the trunk of an Armenian drug dealer, I think that we could figure something out.
I actually think you could.
Yeah,
you know, there's interesting. There's something about, you know, volunteering physical therapy, but using your comedy as a healing method as you volunteer. I mean, you know, it could be volunteering to do shows for these people and things like that.
Yes.
But it also will fulfill something within you that's very heartfelt, that will connect you into a greater good of what you're serving.
Yes.
Because I think right now for you, as, I mean, I don't know, tell me if this is true or not, with all this, these accolades and how fast you're rising, the connection you're losing is with all the people that mean the most to you. You know, I mean, the people that know Chris, that love Chris, that, you know, your parents will never throw you out. They'll never abandon you. They're always there. They, you know, they may have difference of opinion, but you have the security of knowing that no matter what, they'll always be there for you.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
And so doing something that helps to change the world for the better through your comedy. I mean, you're doing it, but it's the way we do it, the path that we take. And I think you have all the framework there. It's now, what's the inner path, the purpose that will guide you, that will be the through line and thread that will take comedy to a different level for you.
So what is something, and maybe there isn't this, is there ever a time where you get a client and they are uncoachable? And if so, what traits are uncoachable that you're like, I'm going to have a big problem with this person?
I do a lot of times.
Is it something common, a common thread?
Well, it's usually that they're not willing to step, I'll just say, they're not willing to step into their own journey. They're not willing to do the practices. The practices I give to my clients are really based on what they do every day. So if they take a walk in the morning, I bring a distinction to that. I'll bring a distinction to, I have a meditation for the shower. Everybody takes a shower.
Sure.
You know, I have meditation for eating. Everybody eats. And not all my stuff are meditations, but I take what they're doing in their daily life and I go, how do I bring a new distinction to that in order for them to do it? And that is kind of one of my secrets that's now known, that I used to do these amazing programs for my execs. They'd never do it. I go, what's going on? Why aren't they doing it? They don't have time. So I would find out what they do in their life. I'd know them intimately. And I'd take that routine and I'd bring new distinction to those routine, and then they'd actually do it. If someone's not willing to step into the journey, I know in the very beginning, and I just won't coach them because it's a waste of their time and money, and it's a waste of my time as well. So, yeah, people who are not, they want it, but they're not willing to really step into it.
Right.
You can't transform unless you're willing to take the path.
See, that's one thing I will, can say about myself, if I'm always beating myself down, but I will say that I am always willing to take a chance. I will always do that. I am always willing to take a bit of a risk.
Okay, so when do we
Got
start?
Got chlamydia a few times.
So when do we start, Chris?
Yes. So what...
I'm serious.
How would we start? Well, I live in New York. Is that a problem?
No, because I do most of my clients through Zoom. I have clients all over the world, so it doesn't really matter.
Well, what's the hourly rate?
It really depends on what your budget is. I don't charge the same depending on
sliding scale.
If your company is paying, if you're paying, and I shouldn't be saying it on your podcast because it really depends on many things. You know, larger companies, when I work with execs, they have more to oversee, so the fee will be higher. But good executive coaches, just to let you know, usually do a six-month period. Mm-hmm. That's the beginning. And it can go anywhere from, I'm talking on the low, $18,000 for 6 months, to anywhere from $25,000, $30,000, and that's not uncommon.
Right.
And most companies, if you're not a good executive coach, you're not charging that. And they won't put you in their pool of coaches to call.
So I think we should do it, Alex. What do you think?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Alex and Paragon will pay. Paragon Studios will pay.
I love it.
Wait, hold on.
Okay,
we
Alex.
We do have some questions. Hold on.
From who?
From one of my producers. We talked about balancing family and growing a career. Susan told me, find a new kind of model, find a new lane where I can almost be someone that fellow comedians model their lives after, where, you know, I find something to do in New York where I'm going to see my family and also excel at business. So figure that out. How to figure out the Chris DiStefano, Chrissy Chaos brand. That's a good question. Branding is big, right?
Yep.
What do you think is a key to figuring out your brand or branding?
Well, you know, part of that is just knowing you. Mm-hmm. And knowing you, I mean, just talking to you right now, there's something very, you know, there's the Chris model of performing and you're always on. And then there's something within you, because what was it? Was it your child that said you never connect? Who said you never connect?
My girlfriend, my kid's mom, was like, you feel like disconnected.
So she is the other side that you need to be able to connect into. Because once you do that, your brand is going to emerge from this new and then it's almost the brand and the model emerges together.
Got it.
And it's going to be different. It's not going to be like, why do you want to be like every other comedian? You don't.
No.
You want to be different. And in this world that we're in, the people that, the millennials and the Gen Zs who are entering the workforce, I mean, millennials are already in it, they want to do something that has purpose.
Yes.
If it doesn't have purpose, and if they can't use their gifts, they go goodbye. They're leaving companies in droves because they don't want to work 24/7. They want to be honored for their gifts. They don't want to be order takers. They want to be innovators. And a lot of companies are order taking. They're command and control leadership, right?
Right.
So the idea about your brand is you've got a great opportunity because you've got these generations coming up that I had one Gen Z told me, her mom, they were watching a commercial with Skechers, and I think it was Skechers. And Skechers was promising all these things. Mm-hmm. And the little girl said, they're just trying to fool us. We will never buy Skechers. we buy Toms, even though they're more expensive, because they give to kids in Africa and things like that. And her mom heard this and went, wow. They're growing up in a different world. They're growing up in a world where they want connection, meaning, purpose, all these things. How do you bring in what is emerging into what you're doing so that other comedians start to follow you?
Got it.
And that becomes the brand.
Interesting.
And we have to discover it through you.
Right.
Through who Chris truly is, bringing you back your North Star to your authentic self and what you were born to bring into the world, your gifts, your purpose, your genius. And the genius is different than the genius you're thinking about.
Got it. Yeah, because the other question was, how can a comic act like a business without losing their charm? But you answered it. It's by being your authentic self. That's the answer time and time again.
Right. And generations coming up, they can sense a fake like crazy. Mm-hmm. That's why my husband is so good with his youth and transforming thousands and thousands of them, because he is so authentic in who he is. He lives in his values and beliefs, even if he gets hit down. And it's not easy being in the nonprofit world today.
No.
But, he is so valued. I learned from him. I took his approach, Salbona Leadership and the Gift Center approach, into the corporate world over a decade ago and started turning around companies and cultures in a way that was long-term. And it's so amazing, especially when we have multi-generational organizations today, where we have almost every generation, Gen Z, we have millennials, we have Gen X, we have boomers. How do you work with all these generations that
sure.
have been raised in different times and believe different things?
Here's the truth. The system traps you in debt, okay? High interest credit cards and loans make it nearly impossible to pay off your debt, and insane inflation keeps you stuck paycheck to paycheck. I mean, look at Don. Done with Debt is your lifeline. Done with Debt has an ingenious new strategy to help erase your debt faster and easier than you thought possible. Now Don's listening. Done with Debt analyzes all the debt options you qualify for. They know how to reduce bills. They know how to cut interest rates. Their skilled staff of negotiators know how to get debt out of your life permanently, without bankruptcy and without a loan. Done with Debt are the experts in brilliant strategies for eliminating debt. But you need to hurry, because some debt solutions are time sensitive. Here's how easy they make it. Go to donewithdebt.com. That's donewithdebt.com. donewithdebt.com. That's all you got to do. Go there. Figure it out. It's going to be awesome. Say goodbye to your debt, Don. I love DoorDash, dude. Do you use DoorDash? I love DoorDash. I vote for DoorDash. DoorDash. I wish it was my kids' names, to be honest with you. I want to change their names from Violet into Lila to Door and Dash. That's how much I love this company. I use it every single day, okay? You want to make your mom smile? You want to make your mom smile? Then here's what you do. Start Mother's Day with flowers or surprise her with gifts from the brands she loves delivered the very same day with DoorDash. That's right, folks. You thought it was all food? You crazy. They'll do anything. They'll deliver flowers to your mama. DoorDash. Moms are a gift. So give her the best this Mother's Day. Get gifts as thoughtful as she is with DoorDash. And if she's dead, you DoorDash those flowers right to the cemetery. Select from hundreds of expertly crafted bouquets, to the best of tech to self-care essentials and more delivered right to her door. I love you so much, Mom. This Mother's Day, get something thoughtful for Mom on DoorDash. Surprise her from wherever you are with fresh bouquets, the latest tech, gift cards, self-care treats, and more to make her day that much better. I read it twice in a row. Just want to make sure you're listening. Shop with savings that would make her proud. With a DoorDash Pass membership, I love this freaking membership, y'all save with... Okay, here we go. Shop with savings that would make her proud. With a Dash Pass membership, you're going to save a lot of money. Okay, $0 delivery fee and reduced service fees on eligible orders from Dash Pass merchants that meet the minimum subtotal. Other fees, including service fees, apply, and terms apply, of course. Can't do anything without terms. So get all your Mother's Day gifts all in one place, okay? Get 50% off your next order, up to $15 when you spend $15 or more on your next flower, convenience, grocery, or retail order now with code CHAOS. That's code CHAOS, C-H-A-O-S. Order using DoorDash today. Terms apply, all right? All you got to do is download that DoorDash app, put in that promo code CHAOS. You are going to get 50% off your next order of up to $15 or more when you spend $15 or more on your next flower, convenience, grocery, or retail order. Just put in that promo code CHAOS, okay? Order now and get everything you need for Mother's Day at DoorDash. Code CHAOS, 50% off your next order. Do it. I love you, Mom. I love you, DoorDash.
Well, your husband is amazing.
He's Salbona is the answer.
Literally a father to us all. 800 kids. How about this? How can here's a couple of questions.
Sure.
How can people navigate a layoff? That's a question we had.
Wow, it's interesting. You know, the thing about it is I think the first thing, because I've gotten calls from people who have been laid off. I think the first thing to be able to do is to take a bit of time, if they can, to be able to figure out what it is that they really want to do. Because if they're, a lot of times people are laid off, I've talked to many, and they're relieved. They feel a great deal of freedom, you know, because they were only doing the job because they needed the money, right? And not to say money is not important, it is. But I say to them, if you can stop just jumping on the bandwagon and trying to find another job, like you did, and take some time to just be still and listen to what it is that your heart is saying, what it is that you want, you might find a different direction.
Right.
Using your same gifts. You know, so it's always great if you can get a career coach to be able to work with you and things like that. But the first thing I say is don't keep going on that train, meaning I just lost my job. Now I got to find another one.
Right.
You know, if sometimes you have to, but and hopefully you've put money away. But if you can take a moment, a week, two, to really sit with the fact that now you have the freedom to be able to do whatever you want, what would that be? And how could you use your gifts in a way that would make you happy?
Yeah, it's interesting because sometimes it happens for you. Like I didn't even, it wasn't by design. It just got forced into it. So a couple of weeks ago, I was supposed to go do shows in Dubai, right? And the day we were supposed to leave.
I love that place.
You've been.
Yeah.
So the day we were supposed to leave is when the Israel-Iran kind of mini war happened. So I didn't want to be, I kind of psyched myself out. I didn't want to be in the Middle East. I just didn't want to be there, even though I know Dubai is perfectly safe. I was like, well, what if? Because it was Jasmine, my girlfriend, and me going for her 40th birthday. So I was like, we're going to be across the world from our kids. There's a potential conflict happening in Iran, which borders Dubai. I don't want to go.
Yeah.
And so we didn't go. And then 2 days later, all that flooding happened in Dubai, and it proved to be like a good decision. For, you know, I was like, we would have been stuck there.
Yeah.
But anyway, it was the first time, probably since the pandemic, so 4 years, where I had 5 days of no meetings, no shows, at home in New York, took the kids to school, and then had nothing to do. Because even when I would take time off the road, whatever, I would, you know, be going on vacation with my family. I have little kids. You're working. You know, I would take meetings. I would say, well, I'll just go do a spot in the city. I'll go have a meeting. Always working. Where I was going to fill up my calendar, and then Jasmine was like, do not do that, Chris. Like, why don't we just stay home? And within 48 hours, I felt this unbelievable pressure off my back. I felt a little bit of connection, and I started to have these ideas. All these things that I'm thinking about and sharing with you now were never even in my mind until I just took time to slow down. I went 10 miles per hour instead of 80, and I realized like how important that is now in life, and how you know, you keep kind of saying, coming back to the same point, where it's just about like slowing down, and that's how you connect.
Yeah, I mean, that's the portal. So for you, that being able to be still with yourself, look, innovation is letting go of our certainties, and we can't let go of all the thoughts in our mind. I mean, meditation allows us to start to let go of all those thoughts in our mind. When our mind is empty, that's when creativity comes in.
Yes.
That's when all of it floods. I had a client that I kept saying to him, you walk in the morning I want you to do the meditative walk I gave to you. Don't, he would walk in the morning to think about what he was going to do in the office. He finally one day called me and said, oh my gosh, what you told me to do works. I said, what happened? He said, I did the meditative walk. I had thought, I said thinking, I let it go. Susan, when I got to the office, I had the most creative ideas about how to take my company forward, and it took me 5 minutes.
Right.
He said, this stuff works. I said, yeah.
Yeah.
And so what you had was that awakening that when my mind is still, all of a sudden amazing things flood in. And because these, it's empty.
It's empty. And these meditative, and would you say technology on your phone is a big barrier to get to these? Mm. You have to leave your technology behind, right? When you go on these meditative walks.
Yeah.
What do you, yeah, right? Like this is this is a creativity killer, the phone, right? You
think? It is a creativity killer.
So.
You know, because people are just attached to the phone. I mean, I had one millennial. I challenged the millennials in her company, the company I was working with, to put their phones aside and to be able to check them at certain points of the day. Mm-hmm. She did it for a week and she said, oh my gosh, I got more accomplished in 1 week, in 1 day than I have, you know.
In one week.
She said, so I got all this thing accomplished in 1 day. I got a whole week's worth of stuff accomplished in one day because I didn't keep looking at my phone when it buzzed or whatever to see who it was, to see who was texting. And she said, wow, she was a real believer, and she shared it with the whole team, and the team went, wow.
So do you think, is there kind of like a general rule you have, like on how people can like meditate, how people can get rid of their technology? Like what, is there something like that you, is there like a pattern you follow, or is it each for each individual?
Yeah, it is different from each individual, but it starts.
I don't know what the hell just happened back there.
It starts with the willingness to be able to say, you know what? I can't live in this world that I'm living in where my mind is always racing and full of everything. Because in your mind racing, you can't be patient. In your mind racing, you can't connect.
Right. Because
in your mind racing, you can't have creative thoughts come in.
Because I find that what I want, if someone was like, you know, someone asked me like, what is it you want? And there's a part of me that like, the way I could describe it is I want to be, feel like I'm out of the rat race, but still successful.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you, because it feels like, especially like specifically in comedy, mm-hmm. it's tough at times to feel successful, right? When you're going to go open up your Instagram and see your peers selling out twice the size venues you have. Selling, you know, doing these things, you're like always in the rat race, or somebody posts a big clip that gets a million views and you're like, well, now I have to do it. So I want to get out of the rat race. I don't want to do it anymore, but I still want to be successful.
Don't you have somebody that looks at all that stuff for you?
They do. And I'm paying a person to do that, but I'm still doing it.
Yeah. And so,
cause I'm feeling I'm controlling on it. I'm like, but I need to make sure everything is right.
Right.
So that's not good.
So part of this is your journey of being able to let go, because I hear a lot of things about control, okay? And the other side to the gift of, well, it's not a gift, control. The other side to control is really about being able to let go.
Yes.
And go with the flow. And part of that is, like I said, you don't change unless you change the feeling in your body, meaning this. You can want to, for example, be more patient.
Mm-hmm.
But until you have the insight of the things that you do that create impatience. So, for example, when you have the insight that you are impatient, a good coach will give you practices that you do on a continuous basis that allow you to embody what it feels like to be patient. If you don't feel what patience is, you'll never develop the habits that lead to your competency where you are patient and not trying to just act it. Because there's a lot of times people try to act patient, or they go to courses that tell you how to be patient. You do this, you don't speak. But inside of you is going, why doesn't she just shut up? Why doesn't she get to the point? Oh my God, I heard that story a million times before, right? That's acting patient. It's not being it. And what you want to do is be. And so what we do is we work from the inside out to change those feelings in your body and break the patterns that you have, insert new ones, so that all of a sudden you feel different. And those kinds of things don't trigger you anymore.
So What? So, you know, that's all great. Like, the coaching is amazing. But what's wrong with Susan? What are Susan's problems? What does Susan need to work on?
You know, Chris, the thing about it is when I go to coach a person, it's all about them. I don't bring my problems to the field because I'm working with my own coaches on, and I'll say this to you. I think what makes me a really great coach is the fact that I really walk my own talk. I'm working on myself every single day. I work with coaches. I do practices. My husband will tell you I have a five-hour ritual that I do in the morning.
And 5 hours?
5 hours. And it has to do with meditation. It has to do with work on myself. It has to do with journaling. It has to do with physical workout, strength training, all the things that I offer to my clients, I do. So when they ask me, so what happens if I do this? I can tell them because I know deeply what will happen. And, you know, I went skydiving with my husband once because, tandem skydiving, because he was really afraid of heights. And I did it because I wanted to know what it felt like to be in uncertainty.
Right.
To be in free fall. I wanted that feeling in my body when I jumped out of the plane of, will the parachute come up, even though I had somebody on the back. And so I'm constantly looking for things to be able to improve myself. And I'm my own guinea pig that I tested on before then I give it to my clients. And I do, I know it works because it works on myself. And just to say, you know, years ago, I'll never forget when I started this inner journey. I had friends of mine, and this is when I was in entertainment, would say to me, one guy said to me, are you on drugs? I said, why? He said, you're so different. You're so patient. I've never seen you like this. And I said, no, I'm not on drugs. And I told him about the inner work that I was doing. And he went, wow. Yeah. And I've had people come up to me and ask me, like years ago, I had one of my friends come up to me and said, I want some of what you have. And I went, what do you mean what I have? She said, I've seen your change.
Yes.
And I want to be able, I'm starting my own tech company, and I want you to coach me. And back then, people really didn't coach. And I said, coach you? Like, unless they were a sports coach, right?
Right.
So I said, well, okay, I'll take you through certain things I did, and I'll help you in whatever. She made her first million in her first year, and she was the one that convinced me that I had to coach.
Wow.
And she said, you need to coach.
And I want to, because people will be asking the fans, because I do think you're going to get some people who want to reach out to you and want potentially you to coach them. You are authentically Asian. You're not a, you're not a white woman in a costume. You're not making believe you're Asian to preach wisdom. You are actually for real Asian, Japanese, American. We can prove that. I just want to ask. We can prove that with a quick blood sampling, and the fans. I just want to make sure.
Yeah. Okay. I'm Japanese. I was born in Hawaii.
Wow.
Yeah. The best part about born in Hawaii.
The Lehi, real deal.
Kauai.
Amazing.
And yeah, but also before we leave, too, I don't know how many more questions you have.
Well, there might be. Well, we do. We might have one more question, and then we just do have a voicemail we'd like to just.
Because I do want to give you something.
Okay. The last question we have is. What are the best skills for people to focus on? If I know that's a bit of a blanket statement, but is there one skill that sticks out from the best that will get people the furthest if they can't afford an executive coach or just a little piece of advice? What is that one skill that you think pushes people the furthest in your experience?
Okay, I can give them something. Can I promote something?
Yes, promote it.
Okay.
Bring it out. She's reaching into her bag.
I think that the best thing they could do is buy my book.
Yes.
Because at the back of my book is all these practices that I would take you through.
Wow.
On our journey together.
Yes.
As I coach you.
Step by step. It's like
right,
a cookbook.
Alex? Right, Alex?
Yes.
Okay. But this
Alex
is
asleep in a pool of his own vomit.
This was the number one bestseller on Amazon for a couple of weeks, and it came out in 2018. And it's about your generation. It's what you're teaching us. Not what we need to teach you.
There it is. Leadership's perfect storm. Please go get that book, because that I want to go. That's amazing. And now, but I'm not going to get that book. I'm actually going to get coached by you.
Yes, you're going to get coached by me, and I'm going to give you a book because
yes,
it's here.
Whoa!
And I signed it and everything, so you have.
Thank you. Wow! Look at this, Chris. May you always be seen for the gifts you bring into the world. Sawahana.
Salbona.
Salbona. Susan. Susan Salbona.
Yeah.
Salbona Susan. That should be your, that's her merch.
Well, Salbona is something I'm trying to, I am promoting throughout the work because it's the portal, you know, being able to see people for who they are is the portal for them to become great.
Yes.
We live too much in a society of right, wrong, judgmental, you know, our judgments that get in the way. You know, you do something wrong. I have certain expectations of you. If we can see people for who they are, a different conversation unfolds, one where we don't lecture to each other, but one that we listen and learn from each other. And so that's important.
That's a
doorway.
I do love you. I am actually currently in love with you. And this is amazing. You said you had something to give me?
Well, that was it.
Oh, thank you. The book. I do love Susan, and I think Susan, I'm almost positive, is going to be a fan favorite, and people are going to want Susan back. Susan, do you ever come to New York?
Oh, you know, it's been a while since I've been to New York. So you live in New York?
I live in New York. We'd like to invite you to New York.
Okay, well, invite me to New York, and let's see what happens.
Susan is coming to New York.
Are you paying for my fare out there?
Yes, well, Paragon will also pay for that in addition to the executive course. Alex, do you have any questions? Or Don, any questions from the control room?
No. I've got a question. How do you know that you've found your place in life and your right tribe?
Oh. I call it your calling. And what happens is that your calling usually appears when you don't expect it. And if you're not present to see it, because my calling found me, it's like that woman that made her first million her first year, she kept saying to me, you need to be a coach. You don't know how much you transform my life and the lives of my people. And I was like, nah, I don't want it. You know, it's almost like you push back on it, Alex, and it's like you don't see it, but it comes to you. And when it comes to you and you then recognize, and I recognize, wow, this is maybe what I'm supposed to do. The calling is when all your gifts come alive, every single one of them. And every day you wake up with purpose and meaning, and you can't wait to get up. And that's how my life's been since I found coaching. And then what happens is your tribe, you start to attract your tribe because you are in your purpose and people see that and they want to be a part of it.
Right.
And so Salbona is such an important part of, you know, I'm really committed to building a community of Salbona leaders who live in their gifts and their purpose,
right,
and support others in living in theirs.
There it is. That's great. Susan. Now, Susan, we do have a tradition on this show where we listen to fans call in and leave voicemails. They leave, sometimes it's parenting questions, sometimes it's life questions, problems, sometimes they just vent, and we always just listen to one, and then we give a little bit of feedback, and then that's how we end the show.
That's
so, Alex, pick which one you think is better for us.
Hi, Christy. This is Ashley. I need some advice. So I live in Nassau County, and I'm a second-year teacher in Williamsburg, Brooklyn. I have trouble just dealing with some of the snotty teachers that I work with. So if you could give me some advice on how to deal with some people being rude at work, that would be great. Also, I have another question, trying to intermittent fast, so I don't get, in your terms, fat, fat, fat. Any advice for dealing with that without becoming tremendously hungry in the morning? All right. Thank you. Love you guys. Bye.
Well, Ashley, thank you so much for your question. My advice for you is one word, Salbona.
Yeah.
No. What did you hear?
No, you know what?
Salbona is truth, but what would you honestly, what would be your advice?
Well, okay, so,
yes,
you know, unless you know, I know there's more specifics to these, this in dealing with these teachers and stuff, but it is Salbona. It's, I would say to her, you know, is there a particular teacher in particular that you are focused on that, that triggers you or that is being mean to you? And then I would ask her, what are the gifts in this person? And she'll probably say nothing. And I'll say, what are the gifts if you could see them? What is it that she does that, you know, and, you know, the idea is when we start to see a person's gifts, we start to see, wow, they're not as bad as I thought they were. They have all these things. And then we can look to the other side, to the gift of what it is they need to learn.
Right.
And how do we plant the seeds for that to happen? But in first being able to see them and not do our right, wrong judgments allows us to diffuse what's there. You know, it's like this. If someone's going to fight me and they have a sword drawn, if I don't draw the sword and say, you know what, I'm not going to fight you, they go, you got to fight me. You got, nope, I'm not. That's not what I believe. I don't believe in fighting you. I believe in let's talking down. I want to fight, you know. It neutralizes things. People cannot, you know, get to me because I'm not willing to engage with them in that fight.
So, which, by the way, great example, very Japanese, the sword. I like that. I like that. But so would you say then too, like, you know, obviously, like, you know, you don't want to fight with them, you don't want to engage with them, you know, the advice to Ashley is to look for the you know, the good in them, if you can, that the positive qualities.
Well, I say gifts.
Gifts in them. Sorry, the gifts in them. But that doesn't mean you have to be their best friend. It's really for you to let go of your anger and resentment towards them.
Exactly. Exactly. Yes. Because the anger and resentment that she has in her is eating her up. And I can tell you that this other person or whoever they are, they're not thinking about her on a Saturday or a weekend. Mm. And she, it's like, I'll never forget years ago, a coach of mine said to me when I was really pissed at someone and we were talking on a Saturday, we were taking a walk. She said, you know, Susan, they're not even thinking about you. And I went, what do you mean? She says, here you are using all this energy that's eating you up and they're not even thinking about you. And that I went, whoa, that's true. She said, they're having a great Saturday and here you are having a miserable one. So it's in my journey that I started to learn about different ways to be able to turn things around. I say to her to focus on the person that maybe doesn't most trigger her, but because that'd be hard, but someone that kind of minorly triggers her, and to start there and write down what she sees in this person. What are the person's gifts?
Got it.
You know, and then define how that gift shows up.
Right.
And then to start to look for that in that person every day, to start to see it in their actions, because it will then allow her to start to see, oh my gosh, there's a lot of good here that I'm overlooking.
Right.
Yeah. And it's not about becoming best friends. It's for her. It's like you said.
Let go. So there you go. That was a good answer. And then for the intermittent fasting, because they call me Christian, I lost a good amount of weight intermittent fasting, just pretty much eating in a 6 to 8 hour window and going 16 to 18 hours, just giving my gut a reset and then exercising. So the intermittent fasting, the way to prevent hunger in the morning is to drink water. You got to just drink water. A lot of people, you know this, but you know, it's interesting. You think a lot of people know this, but a lot of people don't. Is, you know, when you feel these hunger pains, a lot of times you're thirsty, drink the water, have some black iced coffee or green tea, you know, nothing, no sweeteners or milk or anything. You won't break the fast. And that's how you can stay satiated to, you know, whenever you want to start your feeding window. But that's the best way to do it.
Yeah. And can I say something about that too? Because
yes,
I do fasting, 12-hour fasting. My husband does 16-hour fasting.
Right. And is he skinny mini?
Well, he's getting there. He's
right.
His six pack is starting to come out.
Come out. Wow.
Yeah.
Good for him. Wow, you got a hottie with a body. Holy
but
shit.
But what you're saying is absolutely great. And I also say that in the morning, schedule a morning ritual where you have things that you do, like you get up, you meditate, you do prayer, you do journaling, you do a workout, you know, you do all these things. When you start to do those things and drink water, what happens is your body starts to get used to a new way of being. And after you can get that to be a habit, your body start shrinking, it won't crave food in the morning.
Right. Yeah, and, you know, some too, these are with those of us that have children. I know you and your husband have 800, so it must be tough. But there are fans out there that only have, like me, two or three kids. What you have to do, though, too, because a lot of times fans will write in or leave voicemails, you know, I want to do this, I want to do that, but the kids, I got to get them to school, I don't have any time. The sacrifice I think we have to make is to go to bed a little bit early, and I just have to wake up at 5 a.m. I don't want to, but I have to. I have to wake up, and what I say to myself is that some days I get my reading done and my meditating. Some days I'm just up, just trying to get ready for the day, and I can't really get it together, but I'm always trying every day. Is I get up, and sometimes it's always 5 a.m. I try, 5:15 the latest, and I'm just doing work on me until I hear that first kid say, daddy, you know, then I have to go get them. Then it's over.
That's
and
so good.
And some days it's one will wake up at 5:45, only get half an hour. Some days they sleep till 7. I don't know. I have little ones, so they're going to wake up when they wake up, but I at least try.
Yeah, I think that's so great, Chris, because it's my clients all get up really early in the morning, like 4 a.m. or something, and then they start their day before their family even wakes up, and that gives them the quiet time, and they go to bed earlier on those days, and sometimes it doesn't happen. So they,
yes,
they say they kind of feel guilty. I said, no, give yourself tickets out, that you have like 3 tickets out a week, meaning the tickets out are that those are the days that you flow with your children and you enjoy them and you connect with them. I said, use it as a practice to connect with them, to be able to be with them and enjoy their company and things like that. So I think what you're saying is great.
Right. And I learned all those, everything that I've just told you, I've learned in Leadership's Perfect Storm by Susan Inouye. If you want to change your life and stop being an absolute piece of shit, then you read this book by Susan Inouye, Leadership's Perfect Storm, okay? You can either be a scumbag loser, or you can read Leadership's Perfect Storm by Susan Inouye and get your life together. Well, I love you.
Well, thanks for the endorsement.
Yes. This has been the Chrissy Chaos Podcast. I love you, Susan.
I love you, Chris.
Thanks.